Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Dunamos Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamos Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The mission of the Dunamos Center is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other. And I'm here with my co-host today.
Hi, this is Catherine.
Hi, Catherine. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Glad I could be here.
I know. We enjoy doing the show and kind of just goofing around sometimes, but we got some serious things to talk about, too. Before we go into the topic for today, Catherine, do you have, like, contact information or ways people can engage the show, engage us, I guess?
Why? Yes, I do. Okay. They're engaging us?
Go.
Yes, on Facebook, search Dunamos Center Ministries. On Twitter, go to @YourDunamosLife. We would love to receive an email from you. Let us know any questions, comments, concerns. The address to reach us is dunamoslife@dunamoscenter.com. And for all of those, Dunamos is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. And on those social media websites, if you listen to something that's interesting to you, please share it. We would love for you to spread the word.
Yes, absolutely. Don't be afraid to let your friends know about us and that they too can have a Dunamos life.
Right, yes. And one more quick contact info. The phone number to reach us is 719-231-7183.
Well, so there's lots of ways to engage with us and to find out more about who we are. And I'm excited to say, you know, keep an eye on our website. It's kind of old right now, but we're in the middle of really bringing forth some new and exciting things. It's having a whole revamp. And
it'll be reborn.
Reborn. The born again website.
To use a nice Christianese.
Yeah. And, you know, we will have podcasting at that point. Instead of having to go to the blog post, you'll be able to just download it right from our website. And it's just going to be a fun and interactive place. But be patient with us because there is a lot of growth going on and a lot we've had to learn and a lot we need to do, just time-consuming things. But I'm excited. I moved some info over to the new pages, and I actually figured out how to do some things and make it look kind of interesting. So it was like, yes, that was kind of cool.
Accomplishments.
Yay. Yeah, absolutely. So, Catherine, today's show is about Grandparents' Day.
Yeah.
Which is September 13th this year.
Ta-da.
Yeah. So
it's a lesser known adult holiday, you know, like instead of Mother's Day, Father's Day. There is Grandparents' Day.
Right. And I found the history of it to be a little bit interesting.
Ah, do tell.
Yeah. It started in 1978 when Jimmy Carter was our president. Mm. So that was actually like my first election I voted in, 1978.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I don't think I voted for Jimmy Carter, but I've actually missed one election, local, state, federal since then. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But obviously,
that's a whole nother topic.
I'm now in grandparent age. So, actually, a woman named Marianne McQuaid had approached President Carter about establishing Grandparents' Day, and it was twofold.
Okay.
One of it was to champion the cause of the elderly in nursing homes. And we're going to talk a little bit about this on the show today because this is just clearly been going on for a long time and not cool.
Right.
You know, just people being dumped and warehoused. The second was to encourage the younger generations to tap into the wisdom of the elderly. And we're going to talk about that as well, because we often have a thought pattern that the elder don't have really much to offer from this generation in particular. But I think I saw some of it when I was a teenager. It was starting to take hold in 1978.
Well, they just don't understand what we go through.
No, they don't live in the same times we do.
No, everything's totally different.
Yeah, except for the one thing that's not is we all have a heart.
Yeah.
And all of our hearts need the same thing.
Yeah.
We all need to be connected to. We all need to be cared for. Yes, the circumstances of the times we live in are different. But it doesn't change that one fact, ever.
Right. And they actually probably did go through a lot of similar situations.
Yes.
You know, there's obviously different cultural, different socio things going on,
right.
Wars, not wars, whatever.
Well, depressions and economics and...
And those things change,
electronics.
Right.
Music is, you know, totally different than, you know, when you start going back to big band era and then down through hip-hop, you know, the 50s and then kind of into the 60s and you start getting the rock and roll and now look at some of what we've got today.
Right.
And the lyrics and the messages that people are being bombarded with is quite different.
Right. This is getting off the topic of grandparents, but I heard a song recently. I don't even know how it... But anyway, the lyrics were, my heart is a graveyard.
Yikes.
And I was like, oh my word. How sad.
You know, I remember somebody talking about how the hip-hop coming in the 90s and stuff, that when we get old and we're grandparents and we might be in the nursing home, we tend to gravitate towards the music that we had when we were teenagers.
Yeah.
And so for me, lucky me, it's going to be disco. But but I remember somebody commenting about, can you imagine the 80 and 90-year-old grandpas that are going to be singing the, you know, kill the cops and get the whore, you know, whores out or whatever. And it's like, so... We have our experiences.
Right.
And they stick with us. And we can say, hey, this is what I learned from it. Or this is what I didn't learn. And, you know, I wasn't a Christian, but I noticed now as a grandmother, I listened to the songs from the 70s, and I didn't even realize how many of them were just about sex. You know?
You're
just singing it, and you don't even realize it. And so to be able to even impart to this generation, you really do have to pay attention to lyrics, because that's what's going into you. That's a wisdom that we can bring.
Mm-hmm.
And one
mm-hmm.
of the things I love in Proverbs is where it talks about our gray hair, you know. And, Catherine, do you have those?
Yeah. So Proverbs 16:31 says, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life.
Right. So all this, you know, you're low on zinc and you don't want to try to get gray is really not biblical. It's that you earn it through a righteous life.
Right.
But then in 20, there's another comment on the gray hair, isn't there?
Yeah. So this is 20, verse 29, still in Proverbs. It says, the glory of young men is their strength. But gray hair is the splendor of the old.
Yeah, and so that shows that we've made it. We've lived a while.
Right.
I'm not there yet because I don't have gray hair yet. I'm starting. Every once in a while I notice a little bit in the mirror because I don't color my hair. So everybody thinks I'm not as old as I am, unlike other people that I know. But the fact is, yeah, I'm starting to get some gray hair, and I don't mind.
Well,
I feel like it's
I have
this.
Gray hairs as well, and I'm much younger than you, but...
But the fact is, you know, that, I mean, granted, I'm older, and I'm not getting gray hair when in my 20s, like some people, but because of how my genetics or whatever, these scriptures really speak to me.
Yeah.
That by the time I really get a full head of gray hair, I'm really going to be at my splendor.
Yeah.
I'm going to have achieved something.
Right. There's something, there's a positive aspect to having gray hair.
There is. And to me, that's just like showing that there's wisdom and knowledge and, you know, things in there. And when we say that we're supposed to champion the cause of the elderly, what is so sad is how many people are just warehoused in nursing homes. And so, you know, God talks in the scriptures about caring for your older generations. And we see it in the parents, but we know generationally the families were together, they cared for each other, and, you know, you didn't just dump grandma in the nursing home and forget her.
Although, apparently, they
tried.
They did try to devote giftings, you know, like money or time, in towards the church, and to then they wouldn't have to do it to take care of their parents.
Right. So now we're back to there's nothing new under the sun.
Right, you know? I think so.
Yeah.
Do you want me to read that from
Mark?
Sure,
yeah.
So in Mark, Jesus said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions."
Right.
"For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother.' And he also said, 'Anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death.' But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is Corban,'" and this that is translated to be "a gift devoted to God," "then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your own tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that."
You know, we're seeing some traditions in the church today, aren't we? Generationally. You know, one that's like I'm scratching my head at is the flip side of this, and that is the senior citizens who've developed a tradition of, "We're retired, we just want to have fun." And
right.
Not coming back and helping the younger generation either.
Right.
And then they're wondering why they're dumped in the nursing homes and forgotten. Yeah.
So it's almost a cultural tradition, this whole concept of retirement. Is that right, do you think?
Yes. I haven't found it in the Bible.
Retirement?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, yeah, granted, there might be a time somebody got too old to be out, you know, herding the sheep or whatever, so they sat around the fire and, you know, made little pancake-type breads, but they didn't just completely disappear from the family and no longer have any interaction.
Right. It's not like they did nothing.
No.
They did something.
Yeah, they did what they were able to do, and then the tribe took care of them, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is part of what grieves me, is we have this entire generation of these teenagers who are just, ripped from family to family and relationship to relationship, and they have nothing solid. And then we put them in youth group or have them in church on Sunday, and we think that's going to be enough to teach them about how Jesus loves them.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, you know, because we know in Titus 2, we know we're taught, we're supposed to teach the next generation of women and men how to love each other, how to be husbands, how to, you know, for us as women, we're supposed to teach them to love their husbands and children.
Right.
So if we're teaching them to love their husbands and children, we're engaging sort of in a grandparenting role, because we're now teaching that mom for the next generation. And there's an engagement and a relationship and a generational involvement
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what this whole, you know, get the youth to tap into the wisdom of the elderly. But they don't even think the elderly care. You know, I've sat in a church where I watched all the senior citizens sit on one side of the church and all the youth groups sat on the other side of the church.
Mm.
And I'd sit in the middle. And occasionally I would see them glance across the church at each other, both of them looking absolutely terrified.
About the
generation. Yeah.
Having to talk to them or interact with them.
Yeah, and then sometimes the kids would look like longingly, I guess, or like, do they even care? Or, you know.
Or I already assume that they don't care because
right.
they're making no effort to talk to me or interact
right.
with me.
Right.
Yeah.
So I did approach the youth leader, and I said, I think it would be really cool if you could come up with an activity that you have the senior citizens engage and do a project with the youth group. Now we're going to get them to interact, because a lot of those kids really need a grandparent person in their life.
Right.
They might be way away from their own grandparents. They may have six stepfathers. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah.
But even if they're in an intact home, they might not live near the grandparents, or their grandparents might be too sickly or whatever to really engage them as grandparents. I would engage them. And so they need you.
Yeah.
And so when I talked to the youth pastor, do you want to know what he said?
Yes, do tell.
He said he can't accomplish that because the seniors would refuse to do it because they're retired and they've raised their kids and they don't want to bother with it anymore.
Mm.
So that made me very sad.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had read an article about how most teenagers don't feel like anybody even sees them.
Okay.
So it's like, even if you just look at them. Now, I freak out teenagers now because when I meet them, I look them in the eye. And most adults and grandparent type people are like, oh, hey, kind of looking over their head, looking for something more interesting or important. So even if you can't engage them on a regular basis when they at least show up in church, you would look at your own grandchildren like they matter.
Right.
So you should look at any child that comes your way like they matter.
Yeah.
Generationally.
Yeah, it's not impossible to, like you said, make eye contact. Mm-hmm. Say hello.
Mm-hmm.
How is your day going?
Yeah. You know, and then I'm thinking in 2 Timothy, how, you know, like who taught Timothy from the time he was a child? You know, who's the first person to teach him even anything about the Lord?
Right.
And in chapter 1, verse 5, it says...
Yeah, it says, so this is Paul talking to Timothy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also.
So the grandmother's listed first.
Yeah.
Kind of like the matriarch down.
Mm-hmm.
And that the grandmother taught the mother who taught the son. Now, the grandmother was there teaching him as well.
Right.
So it's interesting to me the impact a grandparent can have. That it's even mentioned in Scripture that the grandparent was the one who taught them the wisdom, which leads us to this, you know, younger generation being able to tap into it.
Right, right. There is a wealth of wisdom and knowledge that just, like you said, just needs to be tapped into.
Right.
It seems like it's almost a twofold sort of error, you know, like the older generation isn't reaching out to the younger and the younger's not reaching out to the older. So there's this...
And there's a generation in between there, isn't there?
Yeah.
And that generation is failing to contribute to helping this happen.
Right. I feel like I've heard recently that there's more and more grandparents that are taking care of their grandchildren.
Right.
Because of, for whatever reason, a fallout with the parents. Some, you know, if it's drugs or if it's
right
prison or,
right.
You know, to be honest, in my situation, my husband and I both work.
Right.
So, you know, my parents have, praise the Lord, been able to help out and, you know, take care of them.
The key to what you just said is help out.
Yeah.
Okay. They're not raising your kids.
True.
But with the generational help, you're able to keep your family going, to keep the generations going even.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know that even though your husband's parents aren't in town, they make a huge effort
to be
involved as grandparents.
It's very true, they do.
And they take that role, I think, seriously. Now, granted, we don't always do it right. We make mistakes. We are goofy sometimes and say stupid things. But the fact of the matter is, and we're goofy with our own kids more than we are with the grandkids.
Right.
But that... Still, that generational connection is so important.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a sense of belonging. It gives you a sense of foundation. It gives you a sense of structure. And you know who you are by it.
Right, right.
And I didn't grow up with that. Mm-hmm. We were the ones who were outside of the family. And so the struggle for what's foundational, you know, the who am I thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm a child of God. Yes, I know who I am to the Lord. But on this earth, that generational understanding gives you a sense of strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the young man has strength because mm-hmm. he has the wisdom of the gray-haired
right.
to support him. So I think that is so important. And I had a friend who, her family lived with her and her granddaughter. And her granddaughter was 17. And at that time, if you asked the granddaughter, who's your best friend, she would have said, my grandmother.
Aww.
And my friend said, you have no idea how hard it is to be the best friend of a 17-year-old at my age. But she said, but it's worth every minute of it.
Yeah.
Because I get to pour into her. And she knows she can come to me for anything. But she says, do you think I really care every day about, like, you know, do you know what so-and-so said to so-and-so at school today? And, oh, there was such a cute boy in the hall. And she said, you have to tolerate that if you're going to have influence in their life. right. as they grow up. You have to meet them where they are.
Yes.
And many of us are like, I already did that once. And granted, I already did that. I'm not real thrilled about doing it again. But I would be happy to.
But
to be able to pour in.
Is it worth the sacrifice? Yeah, to be able to speak the
right.
wisdom and, like you said, pour into a generation that desperately needs you.
They do. They need us, and we're abandoning them. And then they're abandoning us. I mean, you know, we wonder why the grandparents are being abandoned in the nursing homes. Some of it's selfishness of my generation, the parent, the in-between generation.
Right.
A lot of it is our fault because we are all about, you know, our happiness and our good life and our, you know.
Yeah.
And I accept that I have responsibility for that. You know, the me generation is what my generation was called.
Right.
So we're living the fruit of that. But then again, you know, I have an elderly mother with dementia
mm-hmm.
in a nursing home.
Right.
But I go at least once a week to make sure she's okay. My sister and I have changed nursing homes several times
to
meet her needs and
uh-huh.
make sure she's well cared for. And, you know, I go in there and the staff will actually, you know, like excited because there's family members who are actually involved.
Because it's so rare that families do?
Yes.
Aww.
It's very sad. And I worked in nursing homes when I was a teenager. And it was sad how many just the kids just dumped them and ran, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then that next generation, that grandchild generation, misses out on that.
Right. So there's a lack of the grandparents don't want to tolerate the young people to pour into them while they have a chance.
Right.
And then as they get even more elderly,
mm-hmm.
that the younger generation that's not been connected mm-hmm. with is saying, okay,
right.
you didn't want to have anything to do with
right.
me before, so I won't have anything to do with you now.
Right.
That's tough.
It's tough. You know, when I was 13, my mother ran a nursing home, and it was right between my school and my house.
Oh.
And so I did walk home every day, and I would go in and I would talk to my mother. Well, as I was doing that, I would follow her around, you know, the nursing home because I wanted to be around her, so she would be doing her rounds. And in the course of that, I met this one lady. She had all of her faculty. She had some physical needs that had to be cared for. And her family had just dumped her in that nursing home and then moved to, like, you know, halfway across the country or further.
Oh.
So she had no family, and I had no grandparents.
Yeah.
And we kind of adopted each other.
Oh.
So I would go in, let my mom know I was in, and then I went upstairs to, basically, to me, sit down and visit with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this great relationship, and she just would light up, you know, when I would come in, and I would try to tell her, you know, if I wasn't going to be making it or whatever, or if I was sick, you know, I'd tell my mom, you need to go tell her I'm not stopping by, or, you know, or we're going on vacation or whatever. And, you know, she just listened
Aww.
To me. Here I was, the crazy 13-year-old. And it was huge.
So maybe that's a word of suggestion for, mm-hmm. you know, the older folks that are struggling to, you know, how do I connect with this younger generation?
Mm-hmm.
Just to have patience and listen.
Yeah. And then, you know, and she did pass away before I was older, but about 17, my grandmother from Michigan did start coming to stay with us because the snowy winters were so bad. So she'd come and stay for the winters. And my sister and I have talked about those times. You know, she was just so precious. And she was aging and, you know, she was lonely too. But it was like she made lunch every day. And I got it if I wasn't home from school on time. But, you know, I would just to eat lunch. But you know what? We were each other's companions at that time. That gave her a routine. That gave her something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gave her energy. It gave her life that she had to get up and she had to make sure I had that lunch because I had to go to work after that. And she wanted to make sure I was well cared for. Now, she wasn't good at, like, talking or, you know, connecting emotionally or anything like that. But I knew that gave her purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I got well fed. I had an Italian grandma, so I'm just saying.
You know, I think, too, about how I connected with uh-huh. my grandmother as she got older. And, you know, okay, so here's a suggestion for the younger people who would like to have a relationship with an older generation like mm-hmm. that. And what I did, because, you know, similar to what you were saying, my grandmother didn't offer, you know,
grandmotherly advice.
Right, stories or anything. But I would just ask her questions about her life, you
yes.
know. Tell me about what it was like when you grew up, you know.
Right.
Tell me about, you know, my grandmother would have been 100 years old this year.
Mm-hmm.
She died 2 years ago. So she grew up in the 2030s. And, you know, so she had a very interesting perspective on, you know, what it was like, you know, as a girl during that time on the farm.
Right.
You know, she didn't get to go to school necessarily, but
right.
there was a teacher nearby who would lend her books that she could read. And so it was
fascinating
isn't it? It was really interesting. But just asking her questions, you know, she would start talking and sharing and, you know, there was connection there.
Right, and it gives you that sense of generational belonging, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I know my mom will do that even in her dementia. If you ask her about her childhood or something, she can remember all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you were talking, I was just thinking, yeah, I need to get my kids to go over and my grandkids, and they should just ask her those questions because one thing that she loves to do is talk about herself. So you get her started. You're going to get great wisdom and understanding from all of what she has to offer in that.
Yeah.
And we're missing so much by not connecting to those things. And so on the one side, I think as grandparents, you know, we need to pour down. We need to pour down into the next generation with our Titus II care. And we've talked before about how we have this postpartum care thing. But a dunamos life is saying, it's not just about me. It's about what has God given me, and then how do I pour that into the next generation and then the generation after that. And if I have a grandmother's heart, I'm going to care that that baby needs to have healthy parents too.
Mm.
And how can I help them have that? By caring for them. And
yep.
then we've got the flip side where we're just abandoning them in the nursing homes. And, you know, if a teenager or a young child goes into a nursing home and sits down and talks to somebody, that's so huge. These people in the nursing homes light up. Light up. Let's say you're like a 4-year-old or an 8-year-old even, and you don't really feel like anybody sees you. You go sit down and talk to one of those people who has their faculties, they will see you.
Mm, yeah.
And they will be happy to see you.
Right.
And that's what our hearts need, isn't it? Their heart needs to connect. That child or teenager needs somebody to connect to their heart.
Yeah.
And just imagine, can you imagine somebody who absolutely lights up because you just walked in the door?
That's got to do something for your heart, you know.
Yeah, and that's why I went and visited that woman in the nursing home every day like a grandmother, because she was the one person who didn't just smile at me, but lit up.
Aww.
You know what I mean? And grandparents can offer that you are worth every ounce of my joy just because you're here.
Aww.
So don't miss
totally
out on that.
Totally unconditional.
Totally. And
right.
it's an amazing example of how God just looks down on us and just is delighted.
Mm-hmm.
And we can learn that with our gray hair, which is our
splendor.
And we can pour that splendor onto a generation that really needs it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I hope you've gotten something out of, you know, your dunamos life, whatever your age is, and how to connect generationally from this show. And I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And we'll talk to you next week about how to gossip correctly.
Huh?